Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have filmmakers Nathan and Megan Leone, part one. We'll see the trailer of a new movie and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are Nathan and Megan Leone. They are the founders of Visionary Film Productions. And tonight, we're going to be talking about their latest film, Grace by Night, a story of redemption and service and Christian faith.
It's a story for our times, and it's a film you're not going to want to miss. And we're now going to a trailer for Grace by Night.
Amazing grace, how sweet. The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
crisis.
Tonight, I'm gonna pull the trigger.
Home, because this will be all over the news by the end of the day.
What are you planning on doing?
You'll know soon.
I don't know what else to do. I can't keep living like this.
I need help.
I'm done.
You told me something that night that changed everything.
Diabetic to a cardiac arrest.
Do you remember what it was?
7-0 receiving a 34 with the weapon.
You didn't think that you were going to make it.
This is my dad. He's been in jail a dozen times, so it doesn't do any good. So are you gonna help or not?
All right, where you at?
There you were, opening up your heart. You talked me out of making a bad decision.
1-3 to police are requesting an ambulance to detail me as streaming.
1549
East 18th Street. Caller, third party. See the cost of an elderly woman at the above location. There she is. Out of death.
I need help. Can you help me?
You stay where you are. I'm on my way.
Fire's responding. 15 to the C, 152 the time, 2208 in 5.
And grace will lead me home.
Well, Megan and Nathan Leone, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is an exciting time for you. You're about to release a film. Nathan, you're the writer, director, and you're a producer. So how do you say that?
Lead producer.
Okay. Lead producer of the film. You're married, 3 kids, devout Catholics, wanted to make a good film. Being released August, Grace by Night. Mm-hmm. And tell us about the inspiration for it. What really drove you in writing the story?
Yeah, you know, I was inspired to tell a story of redemption that was about reaching out to, you know, outside the church walls. So taking our faith out into the streets. You know, how do we, when we leave on Sunday, how does our faith get incorporated into our daily life, you know, through the rest of the week? And so we had this concept come to mind about a crisis hotline responder going out, bringing faith to people in the streets in the toughest of scenarios. And so the story is really about a man who's going through some personal tragedy and he's trying to cope with it. And he decides, you know, he's going to take this volunteer job as a crisis hotline responder to try to get over and understand his own pain. Mm-hmm. And he goes into the streets and helps. He finds out that these people that he's trying to help end up helping him.
Right.
And he starts to be changed by all these various characters. And then along the way, he meets a young man, and they bond over the sport of wrestling. And so it's kind of the redemption story of how this kid who is living in a fatherless home, and then a father who is dealing with his own problems with his family life, come together and build each other from that.
Right.
And so,
right.
yeah, just trying to bring the faith into the real world a little bit. Yeah.
And it's not super overt. I mean, you have a priest character, they're talking about faith and things, mm-hmm. but it's kind of real, in some ways, kind of entry level, like fundamentals of belief. Yeah. I mean, it's very serious topics, yeah. struggles they're dealing with, but mm-hmm. It made me think sometimes as a priest, you know, a lot of times we're dealing with Catholics that are, you know, practicing the faith and working out problems and issues. Mm-hmm. And this is addressing kind of a more, you know, coming in for the first time, you know, and so
yeah.
So that's kind of your target audience, right? You're trying to speak to a secular culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, we absolutely are. You know, yeah. it's important to us to evangelize in what we make
yeah.
And do so in a way that doesn't come across judgmental, but also really sticks to the morality of life and where we need to be going in order to have ultimate salvation.
Right.
So, you know, that's really important to us, that we be very approachable with our stories and that we deliver the message in a very digestible, identifiable way. So somebody yeah. who's watching can say, oh, that person looks like me. Maybe yeah. I can do what they're doing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bridging the gap between the secular filmgoer and the faith-based filmgoer.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it so either can watch the film and get something from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess allowing people too to connect with some of the brokenness of humanity, human failings and things that you show in the film that, you know, that can speak to people that are maybe struggling with addiction or loss or whatever, you know, abandonment issues or broken homes and stuff. So
that's yeah. been something for us too, that, you know, along the way that has opened up conversations for a lot of people who didn't previously know that people in their own families were, you know, struggling through these things. Mm-hmm. So I think it kind of allows people to feel comfortable with talking about the hard topics,
right.
And realize that it's not just them, that
right.
there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with things, and the
yeah.
ultimate, you know, answer is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But we have to do that on a person-to-person place first, of yeah. understanding and love.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have a priest too in there, getting pretty yeah. real as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that working in the Hollywood spectrum of filmmaking, mm-hmm. we always feel like priests are portrayed as either villains or just not very well. A lot of times they're the bad guy, and mm-hmm. so we wanted to make a film where were more reflect the experiences that I had with priests, mm-hmm. where they actually were kind of mentors to me and
yeah.
helped me get through a lot of my struggles, but then also portray them as real people
yeah.
and that they have struggles too.
Right.
So the main goal was to have a character that we could show in a good light and show the positive things that they can do, contrary to what we sometimes see in Hollywood films.
Right, yeah. right, right. Yeah. So you have inspiration, but that's a one thing to be a dreamer, another thing to make it happen.
Yeah.
You all have made it happen, and yep. Megan, you're involved a lot with the business side of it. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through some of that? I mean, how does, you know, funding or, you know,
yes, God
how
bless
much time
her,
do you
God
have? you know, it's not a small task.
Yeah.
You know, we always applaud others who are in this industry when they get a film finished mm-hmm. because it's a long process that takes years mm-hmm. from conceptualizing the story to executing a script to then shopping that around and networking with people and seeing who's on board with that same mission.
And raising three kids and working on other
yeah.
things.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the balance is interesting. You know, it's always been for us, though, a big calling. We always said there's no second path for us. Like, this is what we're doing, and we really teach our children to go after their dreams, and no matter how long it takes, if it's something that God's put in you to accomplish, you know, He'll yeah. make a way.
Right.
So that goes, like you said, from the financing to the conceptualizing of the script. You know, I'd say the financing of an independent film is always the longest portion because you're trying to find like-minded people with money,
yeah,
right?
Right.
That believe in what you're doing, but who can bring the funds to really bring it to life, because our medium is not an inexpensive medium. You know, film feature length movies are very expensive just by the nature of the equipment
yeah.
and the people.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is all on digital, right?
Yeah,
you were telling me that's cheaper than actual film.
Pretty much nobody other than I think Tarantino and Chris Nolan get to shoot on film anymore. So we call it digital cinema. They're the only guys I think that still are allowed to. Because they figured out new ways to make digital look like film. Mm-hmm. So
when you go in to talk to these people, do you have clips you're showing, or is you just giving them the vision verbally, or?
Yeah, so we didn't actually, when we started this project, have the financing to go shoot footage until we had just convinced them on the script. So we used the screenplay, and the financiers who read the script were moved by it, some said to the point of tears, and believed in it enough to finance it without any other footage, just using the screenplay. Yeah. In our current projects now, we're able to go out and shoot some demonstrations and some proof of concepts. But this was prior to that. So yeah, just the script, I think, is pretty much. And then some shot decks, mm-hmm. which are just, you know, pictures of how we imagine these shots will look, the kind of tone and atmosphere we're trying to create in the film. That's pretty much how we do.
And then, like, the advertising part of it, is that a big... I hear, like, with typical films today, it's like half the budget.
So we get marketing teams involved after we complete the movie. And so now we have partners. We have about 5 major partners, including USA Wrestling, Movie Guide, who am I forgetting? I know there's quite a few. Mm-hmm.
Catholic Answers
is another one. EWTN. Mm-hmm. So building partnerships... we all have kind of the same goals of the kinds of films we want to put out, or at least have something that's similar in the film. So like with USA Wrestling, obviously there's wrestling in the film, and they believed in the story enough to promote it as well.
And that I like to watch sports, love drama, Olympics and World Cup and everything, and you all nailed that. I thought the drama, the excitement, the training part, the sacrifice part. So
well, thank you. We saw it as kind of a redemptive Rocky style story. I always use that as a reference for the actors and for financiers. I said, imagine like Rocky, but if we could put a little more spirituality into the story. And that's what the movie is. And it really is a redemption story of a man who comes from a pretty dark place and has to find redemption throughout the course of the story.
Never in the movie did I... you always had a sense of a bigger story here, that it's just not about wrestling.
No.
It's much bigger than wrestling.
We call that window dressing. it's definitely... Just like Rocky isn't really about boxing. The director is known for saying that. The sport helps to market the film, and it's a part of it. But there's a lot, it's more about the character's inner struggles and his journey than it is about the sport itself.
Right.
But wrestling is a great sport because it's a mental sport, and this is a movie about mental health as well, and so those kind of line up well together.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute with Nathan and Megan Leone. We all seem like a couple that really, there's a synergy there that you're bringing a lot of, you studied business and finance and things?
That was something that kind of happened because God said it needed to. My background was in creative writing. So when we first met, that was something that we really bonded over. But I had always worked in very business-centric environments before, just to pay the bills, actually getting through college, moving on to graduate school. So I picked up a lot of information along the way with that. But then when we decided to take our films to the next level, we realized very quickly that we needed to kind of up the ante with becoming very serious producers. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of hours learning different things and understanding different things from mentors that I have.
My exact words were to her, I need you to learn how to produce films because I have ideas and I need financing for them. And she was good enough to go figure out how to do it all.
His confidence in me, I think, helps a little bit. So there's that, and because we had that kind of foundational creative story base, everything was very important to us on the same level.
Right.
And it's kind of a means means to an end. But along the way, I've really come to love producing. I love being able to take something from a very basic idea to completion where you're getting to a very large audience. And you can't do that without a business. It's called the movie business, right? So you have to understand contracts and legal things and all of that. So.
And in graduate school, you were still studying writing?
I was,
I forgot that piece. Yeah, that would bring you together to, and like film today is like the medium, the art form. We're all in love with it. And it's powerful. It's a legitimate art form that that you all can work together. Now, so like talking to people helped you to learn how to produce.
Yeah, I mean, also practical application. You know, we were lucky enough to be in Southern California where there's a lot going on when we were first starting our company. You know, so there were a lot of times that we'd go up to LA and sit on in on talks with other producers and get their firsthand experience. And that to me was kind of a fast track for learning how to produce because I wasn't having to go through the lecture. Section of learning. I could go to this worked for me, this is how I worked it with my templates, this is how I work with my contracts, and then move from there. And because I had worked in academia before and in the medical environment too, in business aspects, I kind of was able to take what I had garnered from that and put it onto the film business.
So being a creative writer, like what is it about story that you find compelling, that the world finds so compelling? Why does that work? Why does that speak to us so much?
I mean, I think that we're all looking to see ourselves on screen. Yeah. I think that we're trying to find ourselves in a book. I think we're trying to find the person that we want to become, or maybe the person that we recognize we used to be, in a character. Because then we identify with it and we can go along the story with them.
Right.
I think it's very powerful when we see that reflection.
Yeah, and I find, connecting with the character story, and maybe it might be some suffering, loss, difficulty, or like speaking about Rocky, you know, that to me the great twist in that movie is he doesn't win the fight.
But
he wins the fight.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, we really were trying to, our goal for it was when you watch the movie, either you have experienced this, one of these facets yourself, or someone you know has gone through some of these struggles. So we wanted it to be something that you'll get some help out of it if you're in any one of these positions watching it. So.
And now how did you learn the craft? Because you didn't get the degree in it necessarily. You did some studies. But there's you're like a conductor, right? The director is like trying to bring all these people together to get along, to produce, to be fruitful. And
It was the School of Hard Knocks, as we call it, and learning just by doing it. So I was going to go to Chapman University's film school, and right as I was about to spend the money to go there, I got into a mentorship called the Act One program, and that's a Christian organization that teaches young filmmakers producing, writing, screenwriting, and they're actually pairing and partnering you up with mentors who are actually working in the studios. So you're getting great firsthand experience from the people really doing it. So that became my film school, and I took what I learned there, built some partnerships, and learned a lot during that mentorship program. And then not long after going through that, we started our own production company, Visionary Film Productions, and then really started learning it by going out and shooting things, step by step, learning through mistakes. And
you did like some shorter films?
We did. We actually, one of our first films was called Limbo, and that was way back in the day, but it taught us a lot about characterization, how to shoot things, and ended up starring Joshua Bassett, who's a big Disney star. This was like his first role. He had never been in any film back in the day.
He was like 14 years old back then.
So that's, you know, how that story ended. Yeah. But it gave him a start, and it gave us a start in producing and directing and writing.
So the release date is in August, and was that hard to find a distribution for it, or?
We actually had quite a few distributors interested in the project. Finding the right partnership, though, where we all have the same goals for it, that can be difficult. But we were blessed, and we had about three different options. We've been really pushing for theatrical, and so we're going to do a limited theatrical before we hit all the streaming platforms. And it should be coming out around August, right after
the Olympics.
Wrestling Summer Olympics. So.
And that's like for you all, that would be where the money's mostly made in the theatrical release, or is it?
A good portion of it can be. Yeah. You want the theatrical release is important so that you have a nice billboard leading up to the release of the movie, so that it doesn't just get lost on the streaming platforms. It's almost like a giant billboard poster for what's coming. So that was pretty important to us, and we felt like the film was a strong enough film that we wanted to give it a wide release.
We got just about a minute and a half. We should say something about one of the main actors, Antonio Sabato.
Antonio Sabato Jr.,
How did you find him?
So we had been looking just, for one, he had the part, he just looked the part. And I gave him a call. I had seen that he was trying to start a new faith film production company. And I said, hey, it sounds like you're trying to do the same thing that we're trying to do. Would you be interested in partnering up? And he said, do you have a role for me? I said, actually, I do, if you want to read the script. And so he read the script, and he really loved it. And the rest is history.
Oh, so part of his film company was working with you guys.
Yeah, he had his own production company.
He was doing his own thing, but at the same time that we were building this film. So then he came on because he loved what we were doing with the film so much, just as an actor himself, so.
He was just enjoyable to watch, you know, it just seemed like every scene, he was like really acting in every scene.
He got a Best Lead Actor at International Christian Film Festival, so he was pretty happy about that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're actually going to do another show with you to talk more about the film and some different aspects of it. But thank you for joining us on Life on the Rock.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Well, I enjoyed my discussion with Nathan and Megan. What do you think, Brother John?
Well, I always think it's interesting to hear actually the behind the scenes of film productions and kind of where they come from, too. Especially with Megan and her, what she studied was creative writing, but then she had to kind of take the lead role in the whole business and finances. And you see Nathan, he was trying to make it in as screenwriter and producer. And it's not like you're just successful at the very beginning. There's a lot of trials, and really there's that will of perseverance along the way too. But one of the things that I really liked that really communicated to me was just the idea that you have an idea, a good idea, and now how to put that idea into action. Right. You know, and there's gonna be a lot of obstacles along the way, but I just think hearing that story is very powerful in and of itself of how God can work through the inspiration. That was one of the things they talked about was just, you know, their film was rooted in prayer during the production before and after and during. And so I think there's that witness to the faith of while you're building the film to evangelize, to help people, to help them connect with real life scenarios that people deal with. So
I was struck by how she did transition from creative fiction or creative writing and to the business part of it, but she enjoyed like making it happen, like having something at the end of it. You have a film. It's like giving birth almost.
And I think in one other sense, there's that faith of where God's leading you to make all of this come together. And again, you know, you can kind of see those elements of even in Mother Angelica's life of how, you know, whenever you do open yourself to God's graces and those inspirations, how powerful that can be. And it's a driving force, you know, and I think once you're on it, you know when you're on the right track.
We have, it seems like in this field, like film is so dominant today as an art form, and there's so many dreamers out there, and for them to actually achieve it by their hard work and grace,
there's
a certain anointing just feel talking to them. You know, how did this possibly come together and work? And but you know, the church says so much about this art form. You know, they have World Communications Day and things like that, and there's been different addresses by the popes and. And obviously there's the exhortation that, you know, films need to uplift. They need to show real human values. They need to show a true vision of humanity. And yeah, you could show, you know, wickedness and stuff, but to be honest about it, you know, where does this lead us? Where does this get us? It's not a path to fulfillment or flourishing. You know, the gospel ultimately is what leads us to a fullness of life.
Yeah, that freedom that we're all kind of looking for, not in the false sense, and I think too of happiness. You know, we are called, you know, we're made by God and for God. You know, whenever we kind of veer from that path, we find ourselves in misery.
Right. And I think we always have that choice. So with all these new technologies that we have across the board, are we going to use that to choose life or choose death? You know, the scenes in the Old Testament where the people are presented that choose, make a decision now.
Right.
What are we going to do with this incredible ability we have to reach people in the art of film? Are we going to use it for good purposes or evil?
Yeah.
And so many people out there want to do good.
Yeah.
And so it's just nice to have a win, you know, to talk to someone out there doing it. So we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. It's time we walk. It's time we walk. Oh, yeah. And oh, you. You never leave me, Lord, and I will walk, yeah. You're my confidence. My life is in your hands. You're my confidence. My life is in your hands. Even when I can't see, I can't see, and you've gone before me, and I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith. The future is a mystery.